Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. And the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah. But Jehovah sent out a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest upon the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken, and the mariners were afraid, and cried every one unto his God. And they cast forth the wares and were in the ship into the sea, that were in the ship into the sea, to be lightened of them. But Jonah had gone down into the lower part of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. And the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Perhaps God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said each one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah, the God of the heavens, who hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, What is this thou hast done? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of Jehovah, for he had told them. And they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that because of me this great tempest is upon you. But the men rowed hard to regain the land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. And they cried unto Jehovah and said, Ah, Jehovah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, Jehovah, hast done as it pleased thee. And they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging, and the men feared Jehovah exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto Jehovah, and made vows. And Jonah prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of a fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now this is the introduction, if you like. It's the beginning of this remarkable story of Jonah, the man who ran away from God. When Daniel and I were staying in Bromley, there was a family staying there, and one of their children, aged 14, has the name of Jonah, or Jonas, and his father is working as a missionary. And this reminded me, I don't know if you would like to have the name Jonah, but Jonah was the prophet whose name is always associated with that reputation of having run away from God. And yet, Jesus remembered Jonah for a different reason and gave a comparison. When the Jews were looking for a sign, Jesus said to them, No sign will be given to you except that of Jonah, who was 3 days and 3 nights in the earth. Mm-hmm. Jonah had this remarkable experience. And Jesus said, as Jonah was in the earth 3 days and 3 nights, so it would be with the Son of Man. So Jesus when he was buried, it was for 3 days and 3 nights, and he was raised triumphantly from the dead. And the sign of Jonah, which to the modern mind is probably incredible, probably unbelievable, and yet this, the God whom Jonah worshipped, the God whom Jonah served, is a miracle-working God. I remember Billy Graham, the great evangelist, said he didn't have any problem believing that the whale swallowed Jonah. He said that Jonah could have swallowed the whale if God had wanted him to. Although I remember hearing another preacher saying that God is the God of the impossible, but he's not a God of the ridiculous. God is a God of the impossible, and Jesus said that with God all things are possible. And so we don't have to try to rationalize, we don't have to try to imagine that the story of Jonah is mythology, because we hold to the word of God and we believe what the word teaches us, the narrative. And there are many other miracles in this account, or supernatural events, if you like. It was a supernatural event when Jonah ran away from God, that God went after him. God sent judgment. God sent a great storm. It may be that there may be someone here tonight who is running away from God like Jonah. You may be someone who, unlike Jonah, you haven't believed in God. Jonah believed in God. He knew that there was a true God. He knew who the true God was, the God of his fathers, his ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jonah believed in the true God, and indeed had a personal relationship with the true God. And yet, when God said to him, "Arise and go to Nineveh," he disobeyed. He went in the other direction. He took a ship to Tarshish. And we might ask the question, why? Was Jonah a man who feared God? Jonah a man who knew God personally? And yet Jonah fled from the face of God. Why? Well, God had told Jonah to go to a great and a wicked city, the city of Nineveh, and to preach to that city because of its wickedness. Its wickedness, rather like that of Sodom and Gomorrah of old, had risen up in the face of God. God's anger arose against Nineveh because of their extreme wickedness. And we only have to read in history, even in biblical history, and we see how evil, how wicked the people of Nineveh were. And yet, Jonah knew that the God whom he worships, the God of Israel, was a God of compassion, was a God of mercy, was a God of grace. And Jonah was concerned about God's justice and righteousness. Jonah wanted to see God's avenging this wicked people. He wanted to see their destruction. And that's why he ran away. But you know, God is portrayed in the book of Jonah as the God of salvation, the God of grace, the God of mercy. And Jonah, writing in the book of Jonah in the days of the Old Testament, was looking forward, looking ahead to the coming of the Messiah, from Moses right through to the prophets up to around 400 years before the time of Christ, when the prophets stood before the people of Israel and the people of Judah, and they warned the people of God's judgment. Yet there was a note of grace, there was a note of hope, there was a note of expectation within every prophet and all their prophecies. You can read through the book of Isaiah and you can find that the graciousness and the mercy of God is there. Isaiah is considered as the evangelist of the Old Testament. And where God warned of judgment, there is also the promise of mercy. But there comes a point when the wickedness of a people becomes so great and the hardening of their heart is such that God gives them up to their wickedness. We're seeing that in our society today. We're seeing the acceleration of wickedness. We're seeing governments legislating that which contradicts, that which breaks the law of God. And God must judge. But there is another way, and it's the way of mercy. It's the way of repentance. It's the way of the cross, through Jesus who died on that cross, so that we could be forgiven, and so that we could be saved and have everlasting life. See, when this judgment came upon because of Jonah, the great tempest, or the storm that broke out on the sea, Jonah, having disobeyed God, he knew that he was the one there who was guilty. He was the one there who was disobedient. But he had hidden. In fact, we read that Jonah went down and down and down. He went down, it says in verse 3. He paid the fare, he went down into the ship. And then we read in verse 5, after the storm broke out and the mariners or the others, the crew on the ship, crying out to their own gods, their false gods, and Jonah had gone down even lower. He'd gone into the lower part of the ship and he was fast asleep. And they were angry with Jonah because the lot, they cast lots, it fell on Jonah. And they wanted to know what was going on. And it says, they said to Jonah in verse 8, "For whose cause this evil is upon us?" They asked him what his occupation was, what his job was. They asked him who he was, what country he came from, what people did he belong to. And he was forced at that point to confess. So Jonah had gone right down into the lowest part of the ship, but he couldn't escape from God. We can run away from God, but we cannot escape from God. And I've heard stories of people who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who all their life had been running away from God. And yet, where they were, God found them. And there have been those who have been on the seas, like famously John Newton, who nearly lost his life. And yet the time came when he discovered that he could be forgiven, that he needed Christ, and he was convicted of his sin. He realized he had done wrong in the sight of God. He needed forgiveness and mercy. And it was John Newton who wrote that great hymn, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." And for poor old Jonah, he couldn't run away from God. And none of us should ever think we can run away from God, because God's love is such, his compassion is such, his mercy is such that he comes seeking for you. Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which was lost." no matter how lost we are, no matter how far from God we are, no matter how much we have sinned, the very fact that you're here tonight is because God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him, Jesus said, shall not perish, shall not be destroyed, shall not go to everlasting hell. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Jonah confessed in verse 9, and he said, I am a Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah, the God of the heavens, who have made the sea and the dry land. Jonah identified the God of heaven, God, Jehovah. The name Jehovah means the eternal God. And Jonah, speaking to a people who were worshipping another God, a false God, a God who could never answer their prayers, identified and named the God of heaven. He said, the God who made the sea and the dry land. The Apostle Paul did that when he was preaching on Mars Hill, and he saw this inscription to the unknown God. And he said, this God who is unknown to you, I declare to you. And he described the God who had made the heavens. And when we as believers go out and talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, we are often confronted with people who do not even know who Jesus Christ is. And we have to begin with explaining who God is. We have to explain we didn't come about by chance. We didn't come about by some process of evolution. That's just from the unbelief of men, those ideas. Completely false, because even a young child knows in their heart that they were made by God. We are made by God. We couldn't come about by chance. There is a God who is the maker of heaven and earth and who made each one of us. What was the effect of Jonah's words? The men were exceedingly afraid. This means these sea-hardened seamen, these men who were tough, who were on the high seas day in and day out, who knew all about the storms and the dangers of being out at sea, and yet they were exceedingly afraid, because that there was in their hearts something of fear of God, even though they didn't know the true God. And so they understood, it says, that Jonah had fled from the presence of Jehovah. And they wanted to know what they should do so that the sea would be calm. They had a fear of the God of creation. And Jonah told them to cast them into the sea. No doubt Jonah, having got to the very bottom of his rebellion and disobedience against God, perhaps thought he deserved to die because this had come upon them as a result of his disobedience. Now, we find that the men were trying to row back to the land, and yet the storm got even worse. And so here you have these men who had been worshipping another God, a false God. Now they were worshipping Jehovah. It says, they offered a sacrifice unto Jehovah and made vows. So something changed in their hearts because of what they had witnessed. And if we are running away from God, we need to know that there is a God in heaven a God who made the world, a God to whom we must give account. And for these men who witnessed what Jonah had done in running away from God, they did the right thing. They offered a sacrifice. It says they made vows. And so we have a conversion here on the ship. And while Jonah was in the belly of the fish, it says, well, these men had had what seems to be a conversion experience. They believed in the God of Jonah. Now, later, of course, if we were to read on in the book of Jonah, we find that there's a wonderful prayer in chapter 2, one of the greatest prayers in the Bible, and we could learn a lot from that as well. And then in chapter 3, we find that Jonah went into Nineveh and he preached to Nineveh. It says he entered into the city. He proclaimed the message that God had given in chapter 3, verse 4, and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And you know, at that point there was one of the greatest awakenings, one of the greatest movements of the Holy Spirit in all of recorded history. Because you have a whole city that believed. It says they believed God. See, they still knew that there was a creator God. And when men turn their back upon God, when they harden their hearts against God, they are in danger of coming to the point where the heart becomes so hardened that there is no longer the possibility of repentance. As with the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they so hardened their hearts against God that Jesus warned them of the hardness of their hearts, and that they were in danger of hellfire. The people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and they put on sackcloth, and it says from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So you had a great city, tens of thousands of people coming in contrition, in repentance, and that was the result of God's turning the whole situation around, where Jonah had disobeyed, Jonah had run away from God. Yet, despite Jonah's rebellion, the people of Nineveh believed God and they repented. God had mercy upon them, and Jonah had to learn that the mercy and the grace of God is not just for the Jews, it was for the Gentiles as well. And in the days of our Lord and the apostles, they too had to learn and discover that this gospel, this good news, was to go to all the world. And that's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so that the whole world could know. Not just the people of Israel to whom Jesus came, but this gospel, this good news, was to go out into all the world. And since Jesus died and rose again and ascended to be with the Father in heaven, these glad tidings, this wonderful message, has been proclaimed all around the world. And today there are people who have bowed the knee to Jesus from every tongue and tribe and nation around the world as this gospel is going out. Well, I don't know whether every last tribe has been reached yet. I was reading the other day about the Orca Indians in South America, who they were reached with the gospel by Jim Elliot and the four other men, and these five men were killed by the Orca Indians who were living a very primitive life, you might say. And yet today there's a church, there's a living church among them, a living body of Christ. Over this weekend, over the last couple of days, where Daniel and I were staying in Bromley, There's a family there who are serving as missionaries in Papua New Guinea. And they had come over to England for a holiday, one of their daughters going to university. And today this family, with one of their daughters going back to America, another going to university in England, or Wales I should say, the rest of the family were going back to Papua New Guinea. And in Papua New Guinea, if we go back into the history, we find that the people were living as uncivilized people, all kinds of atrocities, all kinds of brutalities. They were completely ignorant of the true God, say 200 years ago. But there were those who went to countries like Papua New Guinea to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we go back far enough in history, there was a time in the history of England when this nation was barbaric. You go back 2,000 years, and yet the gospel of Jesus Christ came to the Gentile peoples who were living in England and all around the British Isles. And so we are privileged to have the gospel. But today, the good news is known around the world. And again, I was talking to someone earlier about the fact that, and I think this was one of the brothers who, at the place where we were staying, and we were talking about the fact that it's no longer that missionaries have gone from Western countries to the rest of the world, but these days the indigenous missionaries being sent out from India and China, South America and Africa, all over Africa, the Middle East, and our brother here tonight, Daniel, is one of the examples of that. And if you come to trust in the Jesus who died on the cross and rose again, who died for your sins and my sins so that we could be forgiven, so we could have everlasting life, then you too may be one of those who would take this gospel to the unreached. As our brother Bernard here, for many years, took the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the teenagers living on the Cradens estate. And there are people who are saved because they heard the gospel from the lips of our brother Bernard. And there are many others here who have taken the gospel to the unsaved. Are we going to be those who, firstly, will give our lives to Jesus Christ, that we may serve him all the days of our lives, knowing that we're forgiven, knowing that we have everlasting life, and then the Lord may send us, as he said to Isaiah, when he called Isaiah, he called him to go. And as Jesus commissioned his disciples and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, so he may call some from among us who are here tonight, even those who at present are young people or children, one day God may call you to take this good news of Jesus Christ to other parts of the world. May the Lord bless his word to us. In his name, amen.
Amen.